Awesome. Good morning, Foothills. How we doing? Great. Hey, hope you had a good first 2 days of false spring. And here we are again, still snowing, right? There it is. We love it. Hey, that was my mom in that video, and I am so proud of her. Like, that is just so cool. And yeah, I can vouch for the hate to cook part. Lived it, grew up with it, but love her. It's fantastic. So, but super proud and super encouraged about a number of stories that we hear about how you guys are engaging with your neighbors and what the Neighborhood Prayer Walk has done in our communities. Like Sean said, these next 3 weeks are really setting a new path forward for Foothills. Not new concepts, not things that we haven't been doing, but it's going to be an emphasis of who we believe, who our church leadership believes the people of Foothills are called to be. You heard Sean say the phrase, you saw it again in the video. You're going to hear it a number of times over the next 3 weeks and beyond. We see, we care, we serve the good of our city. What does it mean to be those people, right? These aren't just topics that our elders came up with off the top of their head. You heard Sean say, like, these are deeply steeped in Scripture. And so we are going to expect the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts, to challenge our hearts, to offer us a new perspective, and to really mold us into people that see, care, and serve the good of our city. We believe that God has big plans for Foothills within Littleton, within Denver, and we want to be those kinds of people. And so this morning, we're going to understand first what it means to be people who see. And so as we set our heart on God's word this morning, would you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for this season that you're ushering in here at FBC. We thank you just for the great inroads that your Spirit has made through the Neighborhood Prayer Walk, through the number of ways that we've been engaged in our community. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to challenge us, to move us, to push us out maybe of our comfort zones and to be people who see, care, and serve the good of our city. And so this morning, would you show us from the pages of your word, from the example we have in Christ, what it means to be people who see, and may we move in obedience. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what we're going to look at today, this attitude really that will carry throughout the whole week, the whole three-week series, is anchored in the words of Paul in Philippians 2. And so we're going to read about this attitude that Christ had and really the attitude that we as his followers are called to have. Philippians 2, 3 through 5. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Jesus had this mind. He had this heart that counted others as more important, more significant than himself, than his preferences, than his schedule. This mindset was reflected in his heart as he saw people, as he engaged with them, and as he longed for them to know his salvation. And so that's got to be the root of it. That's got to be the anchor, that we've got to love people more than ourselves and long for them to know salvation in Christ. And so let's look at right now from examples in the New Testament how Jesus sees people. We're going to see a number of examples. The first one is probably one of the most well-known examples of Jesus seeing somebody that's recorded. It's in Luke 19, and it says this. "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So Zacchaeus ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, he saw Zacchaeus in the tree and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.'" So who was this guy Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a Jew, just like everybody in that city. He had grown up around these people, but somewhere along the way, Zacchaeus had sold himself to Rome and had become a tax collector. He lied. He cheated people out of their money. He stole from them. Nobody liked Zacchaeus. Nobody wanted to see Zacchaeus. Nobody wanted to invite Zacchaeus home. Nobody wanted to notice Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had been living a life where he was ostracized. He was pushed out of normal Jewish social circles. Like, he was removed. Nobody wanted to see Zacchaeus, but Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Jesus looked up in the tree, saw the man that nobody else wanted to see, that everybody else wished would just disappear from their lives. Jesus saw him, Jesus called him by name, and Jesus invited him into something great. A couple chapters earlier, we get a similar example as Jesus is walking into the city, and outside the walls, he meets 10 men who have leprosy. And if you had leprosy, you were literally banned from entering the city. You had to live your life outside the walls so that nobody would have to interact with you or see you. And if by chance you were forced to enter the city, you had to walk down the roads and yell, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," so that people would hear you. They would know, oh man, there's a leper over there. I'm going to turn. I'm going to walk the other way so I don't have to see that person. These men outside the gates, they saw Jesus. Jesus saw them and invited them into something great. These 10 men that nobody wanted to see, that had been ostracized, that had been rejected by everybody else, Jesus saw them. And Jesus saw past the man, just like he saw past Zacchaeus. He saw their soul, and he longed for their soul to know salvation in him. Jesus saw the unwanted, the unloved, the unseen. He saw those that were hated and ostracized by the culture. When no one else would see people, Jesus would see them. I want you to think about this with me real quick. Are there people or groups of people within our society or within our culture that we just don't want to see? Maybe it's because of their background, their line of work, their behavior towards us, the people they associate themselves with. Are there people or groups of people that we don't want to see, that we think, man, I'm going to walk the other way? I can't count the number of times that I'll come up to a stoplight and there will be somebody standing on the corner, and real quick, I'll pull my phone out and look down and make it look like I'm doing something important. Right? How many times does my behavior reflect that I don't really want to see that person? Or when you're walking in the grocery store and you see somebody from far away and you're like, man, if that person sees me, I'm going to be here for another hour. And so I'm going to walk around this aisle, I'm going to duck, and I'm going to see, do they there, right? Like, we go out of our way not to see this person because they annoy us when we talk to them, or because we just don't want to deal with it, right? Jesus saw those people. Those people that you and I, that our culture doesn't want to see, Jesus saw those people. He saw the ostracized and the rejected. He sees them, and he longs for their souls to know salvation. And just as he sees that group of people, we also get from the pages of Scripture that Jesus sees crowds. Right, Jesus sees crowds. So often when I come face to face with a crowd or a big group of people, I view them as obstacles for me getting to where I actually want to go. Like, this crowd is blocking the way for me to accomplish my goal. Right? Think about it. You pull up to a restaurant, you go in, the wait is how long? Like, I'm hungry. All of these people are blocking my way for me to eat dinner. They are annoying. They're an obstacle. Right? Now, that exact example has caused my wife to kick me at least a couple of times. All right. So that's a real one. That hurts my heart, right? Like, you see that. Or this past summer, I had the opportunity to go to the All-Star game at Coors Field. Now, Rockies games are great because nobody's there. You can go, you can get in, you can get out. Like, it's real easy. You went to the All-Star game and the thing was sold out, and it's late at night, and you're sitting in the car and you're behind this line of cars, and you're thinking, like, all of these people have to leave through two exits. Like, it's late. Got my kid in the back seat. I've got to work tomorrow. Like, this is just annoying. Or one that might hit with some of you, right? The school pickup line. Look at all these moms. Look at this line. There are so many moms. I just have to get my kids, get home, and start dinner. Why won't these moms move, right? Like, we view crowds and we see them so often as obstacles for us to get where we feel like we need to be or want to go. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus saw the crowds as his goal. They weren't blocking his way to his goal. The crowds were his goal. We have so many examples of Jesus stopping what he was doing and detouring into the crowds because he longed for their souls to know salvation. Matthew 9, look at this example. It says, Jesus was going throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Not frustration, not agitation, not trying to get around them, but he had compassion. Matthew 4, it says, the crowds were full of the helpless, the sick, the afflicted, people in desperate need of hope. And to Jesus, that wasn't an impediment. That was the jackpot. He saw these crowds and he said, this is where I need to be. I see them and they need to know salvation. Jesus longed for the crowds, their souls, to know his salvation. And just as he sees the ostracized, the rejected, as he sees the crowds, we have a beautiful example of Jesus seeing the cities. Jesus sees the cities. And in Luke 19, Jesus is preparing for the triumphal entry. A week later would be his crucifixion. Like, it's the beginning of the most impactful, important week recorded in all of Scripture. And Jesus is on top of the Mount of Olives. And he's preparing to enter. And he looks down upon the city of Jerusalem, the city full of people that he loves. And Luke 19 says this. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. As he looked down at the city, he realized it's full of people that will reject the message that he's come to share, the message of life and hope, and that their rejection eventually would end in their destruction. He saw the city and he wept over its spiritual condition. Now look, on a clear day, on a Sunday morning, you can look through this window or you can go out these doors and you can see our entire city. How do we look at that city? How do we see the people of our city? Do we understand, do we fully grasp their spiritual condition? Do we, like the example given by Jesus, do we mourn over their rejection of the gospel? Do we mourn over those souls that don't know salvation? Because Jesus sees our city and he longs for its salvation. These are just three quick examples, but all throughout the New Testament, Jesus saw the children. Jesus saw the bleeding woman. He saw the widow offering all the money she had. He saw the invalid. He saw his friends weeping over death. Jesus saw everybody. There was no one outside the seeing eyes of Jesus. Jesus longs for all to know his salvation. There is no one outside the reaches of the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus, his self-proclaimed mission, he said, why am I here? I am here to seek and save the lost. Jesus was here. He left his heavenly throne. Further in Philippians 2, he laid all that aside to see people because he wanted them to know salvation in him. In 2011, I had the chance to go with a group of friends to South Africa, Cape Town, South Africa, to do some work in the schools there. And after a long flight, somebody's driving us to the place where we're going to stay, just on this massive highway. And on one side, up on this hill, you've got this huge wall. And I remember thinking, man, whoever's back there really doesn't want to be seen. And then as you look down this way, down the hill was really the deepest example of poverty I've ever witnessed to that point in my life. Just shacks one on top of another, dirt roads, muddy, people doing business, shoulder to shoulder, just so crowded, these people that had nothing. Right? I remember just looking down that hill as someone in our group asked, hey, what's behind those walls? Like he asked our driver, what was back there? And our driver said, man, that is where the richest of the rich in Cape Town live. They got bigger houses. They built themselves a lake back there. They've all got boats, nice cars. Like, that is where the rich people live. And he said, they built that wall not so that they wouldn't be seen, but so that they wouldn't have to see what was happening down the hill. They put that wall up so that intentionally they wouldn't have to see people. And that image has just been burned into my minds and into my mind, and it leads me to wonder what walls, whether on purpose or inadvertently, have been built in our lives that keep us from seeing people. What things have we erected that, whether it's people we don't want to see or just not even realizing what's happening, that cause us to not see people anymore? Right, one of the great things, one of the few good things to come out of COVID was like, these grocery stores got really efficient at you placing your order online, show up, I'm parked in spot 2, open my trunk, guy comes out, puts groceries in, real great, pushes the button, trunk goes down, you drive off, you go home. It's great, it's fantastic convenience, makes my Saturday mornings way easier, but I don't have to go into the store anymore and actually see people. Or this last week, when the sun was shining, the lines at the car washes were just jam-packed, right? Long wait. And it's real cool. My boys love going up on the tracks and watching the robots wash your car and all the colored soap and all that. It's real fun. But don't you kind of miss like that first sunny Saturday afternoon after a snowstorm and your neighbors are out all washing their cars together? Just a real cool way to interact with them. It's a great convenience that we have, but it's a wall that has inadvertently caused us to stop seeing people. And we, through the call of the gospel, we believe that Foothills is to be a church of people who see people. And sometimes that means looking around the walls, being intentional about the way we see people. To brag on my wife for a little bit, as we continue just to place our grocery orders online, this was a couple years ago, the guy that would come and put our groceries in the car, she just learned his name. She'd say hi to him. It was the same guy almost every week. She just said hi to him. And what's crazy is that there were a number of people from Foothills that also had this same guy put their groceries in their trunk, and they just learned his name. They just talked to him. And then when this guy's life hit rock bottom, when he just had nothing left, he walked through the north doors of our building, just in tears, and said, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I know that I met Miss Raven, my wife. I know that I met other people. They knew my name, and I wanted to see why. And so through a conversation with that man, the Lord graciously led him to salvation that afternoon. He didn't know what he was doing inside of the church other than he had been seen by people who love Jesus. Seeing people is a powerful, powerful thing. We want to be people who see people. And just as Jesus sees people, we also see the example that God the Father sees people. The New Testament says that Jesus is the exact imprint of the nature of God. He's the image of the invisible God in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And if the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus and Jesus sees people, then this has to be who God the Father is, right? And so we flip back to the Old Testament. How do we see God the Father seeing people? One example from the recent look we did at Abraham's life comes from Hagar. As she had been kicked out, left to really die, left for her own in the wilderness. Nobody wanted her anymore. She was lost. She thought all hope was gone. And then in Genesis 16, God sees her. God makes her an incredible promise. God calls her into something. And this is her response, Genesis 16, 13. She called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing. For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. That name, Elroy, he is a God who sees. This is the very nature of God. God sees people. In Psalm 33, the psalmist would express just the grand nature of God's seeing people like this. Says, the Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them and observes all their deeds. He is a God who sees. And then what I would consider really the most profound example of this in Genesis 1, right? The final act of creation, God says, let us create man in our image. And so Adam is created, and this is what God says. It says, God saw everything that he had made. He saw it. He looked out on it. And behold, it was very good. The addition of this man to creation that all along the account had been called good, good, good. When God saw man, when he saw the way that man completed creation, he saw it and he said, this is very good. There's something different about the way God views you and I in regards to the rest of creation. He said, man made it very good. But soon we know, right, this image bearer of God would rebel against his goodness. And in the garden at that moment, God would put in place a plan to bring this man, this image bearer of himself, back into relationship with his Father. We see that unfold throughout the pages of the New Testament, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that plan. But that plan would require someone to see that man. It would require someone to seek that man. It would require someone to long for that man to know salvation. And just as God is a God who sees, Jesus saw people. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he passed his mission onto you and I. He longs for the world to know his salvation, and Jesus calls his church to see people as he sees them. That's our mission. Jesus has handed that off to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, to see people as he sees them. I don't know where many of you work. I don't know where many of you live. I don't know your neighborhoods, your schools. I don't know many of those situations. But what I do know is that every single person you and I interact with every day is an image bearer of God. Every single person we see is an expression, a beautiful expression of the glory of God. Every single person we interact with, wherever that is an amazing work of God's knowledge and wisdom. And God says, I want you to see them that way. I want you to see them as an image bearer of the God who saw you. I want you to see them as an image bearer of Christ who came to seek and save them. We are called to be people who see people. Now look, when Jesus saw me, it changed my life. When Jesus saw you, it changed your life. In high school, when I was an 18-year-old angry kid, that if I'm going to be honest, it was probably easier for people not to see me. It was easier for them to ignore me. It was easier for them to walk the other way. When I was that kid in high school, Aaron Smith saw me, and it changed my life. Because he saw past the outward expressions of who people thought I was, and he saw my heart, and he longed for me to know Jesus. Seeing people is what we as the church are called to do. 1 Peter 3 says that the character of God is that he doesn't wish that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. This is who God is. This is his nature. This is the mission that Jesus handed off to us. But to be an effective player in this mission, we have to see people like Jesus saw them. Recently in, really, I guess the beginning of the year, I had a conversation with a guy, and I've told this story dozens of times since then. Some of you have probably heard it multiple times, and you're going to hear it again anyways, right? But I had a conversation with a man that sits front row, and I had a conversation with him in January. It was right after the Marshall fire. And he said, Nick, for years, I'm a delivery driver, and for years, my route has been up in Superior, up in Louisville. I didn't get it. It was inconvenient. It wasn't what I asked for. It wasn't my preferred route. But I just kept going to work. Kept driving that truck every day. And he said, as I was driving, dropping off packages, I'd go up, I'd say hi, I'd get to know the families, I'd get to know the kids, I know their names. Now, pause right there. That's not what my delivery driver does, right? Like, he frisbees that package, or he ding-dong ditches faster than a bunch of high school kids, right? Like, that's not the norm. But he said, I just got to know them, knew their faces, knew their names. And then that Thursday morning, as I was watching the news, their faces were etched in my mind. I had seen them, I'd known them, I'd watched some of their kids grow up, and now they had nothing. So he said, what can we do? And so through really your generosity and the love offering that we do, that we'll take up later after service, through the love offering, he and Foothills was able to gift this family, one of the families, something. But it started because this man saw the people. He saw them as more than just another dot on the map before he could get home. He saw them as a family. He saw them as a couple. He saw the children. And the Holy Spirit called him to do something about it. Now, here's the deal. When we see people as Jesus sees them, the Holy Spirit will not let us sit and do nothing about it. Right? That's what Sean's going to talk about next week. What happens after we see people? Because the Holy Spirit will not let us sit and do nothing. That's not the example we have in Scripture. Like, he will lead us to something. But it starts by seeing people. And so I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Do you want to be a person who sees people? I asked myself that this week. Like, do I understand what that might mean for my life? I asked my 7-year-old that this week. Do we want to be people who see other people? Will we, as a church, answer this gospel call that Christ compels us to? We're going to challenge every single person this week. Young, old, if they're downstairs right now, your kids, you can tell them this in here, our staff. We're going to challenge every single person within Foothills this week to pray one prayer. It's 10 words, and we just want you to pray it every day. We want you to pray it believing that the Holy Spirit will lead you to something, that he will open doors that you never could have imagined. It's a simple prayer. Jesus, help me to see people like you see them. We want you to pray that prayer in faith, in expectation this week. Jesus, help me see people like you see them. I started praying that prayer this last week. I'm going to continue praying it. We're going to pray it with our family, with our boys. Jesus, help me see people like you see them. It's 10 words that when prayed expectantly could bring radical change to your life. 10 words that when a church of people pursuing Christ pray faithfully together, 10 words that could bring radical change to our city, our community, and the people, the image bearers of God that we interact with every day. Now, the Holy Spirit could lead you to any number of things through this. Maybe it's just to learn the name of the guy that drops groceries in your car. Maybe it's to start going back in the grocery store and engage with people that way. Maybe when you come home from work, this prayer will be answered by you sitting your phone down on the counter and in the evening seeing your spouse and your kids. But would you join us in praying that prayer? Jesus, help me to see people like you see them. Our desire is to be a church of people who see. And not because of a cool new slogan or artwork on the wall or because the people speaking from stage are saying that, but we want to be people who see because Jesus is a Savior who sees also. Would you pray with me? Father God, we hear your call. We read it on the pages of Scripture to see people. Would you help us be a church who sees people? Would your Holy Spirit interact with our hearts and change us and move us and help us see people as you see them? And may you bring about great change in this city. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.